All right, guys, today is going to be one heck of a show. We got breaking news. We got race. We got lanes. We got a special interview with Trucker Tools CEO Prasad. We've got a bunch, but here's my intro. Gonna let more people join for a little bit. We'll go from there. Whoops, pressed the wrong button. All right, well, we're gonna let more people join, and then I'm gonna start talking about the stuff we have to talk about. We have breaking news, which we're gonna talk about first. So I'm just gonna let some more people join this live stream. If you're listening to this as a podcast later on, because we do have a lot of podcast downloads every week, be sure to check out a live show. I'm live 2 o'clock every day. Facebook, my website, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, everywhere. I'm live everywhere. Without further ado, my name is Steve Oatley. This show is called Freight Broker Live. It is the one and only talk show run by me. Well, not really, because I have the new one, 5 Minutes of Freight. Anyway, it is one and only talk show out there, I believe, that is specifically run for people that just care about the industry, people that want to learn, people that want to hear what's going on in news and trends and all that stuff. And that's what we're going to address. That's what we're going to talk about today. We have news. We're going to talk about rate trends and that trend lines and our state of trucking address today. We're going to talk with Prasad, who's the founder and CEO of Trucker Tools, and just see what he's seeing in terms of application data and some of the cool stuff that they've done over there at Trucker Tools to kind of help drivers that are on the road. We're going to talk about Amazon again. Do I have the button?
Amazon. I guess I do. Well, now I got to change it back.
Oh, there we go. That was funny. I got a new sound system coming soon, so I'll be able to do that on the fly instead of having to switch to different screens. Anyway. To start off with, anyone who doesn't know, I run the site freightbrokerlive.com, which you can go to and you're going to see. It's going to be like this. It's full of breaking news. It's got my live stream on it. As you can see, I've got all sorts of stuff. Make sure you check that out. It's called freightbrokerlive.com. I've got news all about the industry. I write it a lot. I've got Ryan. I've got Shannon. I've got a new guy named Andrew. I've got a bunch of people that are going to be writing for us. So hopefully we'll have some more content and some more interesting stuff coming on. All right. With that said, I'm going to have to talk. So I wrote this story. It's been going on all morning. You guys may have seen an updated police shoot stabbing suspect in Tennessee pilot truck stop death. Someone went on a stabbing spree and killed three people, and another person's in the hospital in conditions unknown that worked at this pilot in Tennessee. They were all women. The guy didn't work there. That's essentially all we know. The police shot him. He was in a parking lot. Employees were killed inside and outside of the truck stop. Nobody knows anything else because everyone else is kind of being tight-lipped about it. It's extremely sad. It happened this morning. People online are such a-holes that they were being pretty wrong. When I posted out the article, people were commenting on it and just random stuff that's just, it's wrong. But as of right now, 4 people are dead, including the stabber. Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. Anyway, it's crazy. I mean, 3 women were killed and another injured in an early morning stabbing attack at a pilot travel center located at 7210 Strawberry Plains Pike, just off Interstate 40 in Tennessee. The suspect was shot by a deputy who arrived on site shortly after receiving 911 calls just before 7 o'clock this morning. They don't know. I mean, stabbing victims were found inside and outside of the truck stop. Deputies were able to confront the guy in the parking lot. They ordered him to drop his weapon, and he did not. So they shot him, or at least one officer apparently fired. is what I'm able to find out. They haven't said, they've said some of the employees or some of the victims did work at the truck stop. They didn't say all four women were employees of the truck stop. They did specifically say that the guy was not an employee of the truck stop. So I don't know what the whole background of it is, but I'm going to keep talking about it. What's interesting to me is Pilot CEO Jimmy Haslam also arrived on scene, and he could be seen conferring with Knox County Sheriff Tom Spangler and other authorities outside of the travel center, according to reports. Now, this comes in a time where truck drivers are having a hard time. You guys know that. Everyone knows that. Truck drivers are having a hard time on the road now. Tempers are flaring. I don't know if this is a truck driver. I don't know if it was a domestic dispute. There's a lot of people online and social media that are jumping to conclusions. Nobody knows. And have some respect for some of the people that were injured there, is what I would say. Make sure you check that article, because after this broadcast is done, I'm going to go in and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more. I'm going to read about it a little bit more and try to find out some other details, because I think it's very important for us to highlight. We're not the only essential ones. Truck stops are essential. So these employees that were working and now are dead, they were essential employees as well. Whether or not you like Pilot or not, that doesn't even matter to me. So anyone that kind of makes light of that is kind of a scumbag in my book. But with that said, we're going to move on to State of Trucking. Now, if you guys don't know what State of Trucking is, it's this little infographic that I do every week. And yeah, it's not little. It's actually big when it's on paper. So we're going to talk about it. You can find this article. It'll be distributed to social media at 3 o'clock. I've got it set on a timer, but it's already on the website and a lot of people have already looked at it. So one of the things I do every week is I analyze how many people have signed up or how many people have filed applications for broker authorities, for property carrying motor carrier authority, what the diesel price is, what lanes are looking like, what the DAT rate index is looking like, what rates are looking like. And then usually I have a quote or a fun fact. The quote is supposed to be positive. And typically, if I can't find one online that I just grab, I reach out to somebody and I ask for a positive quote about the trucking industry, except this week I was unable to do it. Not because I didn't have enough time, because there's not much positive about trucking right now. A lot of people are trying to do everything they can to do well, but it's not trucking's not looking great right now. So it is what it is. Anyway, we have 208 people applied for a freight broker authority in the past week, which is up from 203 the prior week. So that means more people are coming out and deciding to say, hey, I'm going to file for my brokerage authority, whatever the reason is, who knows. Trucking authorities, people who applied for property carrying motor carrier authority, those are down. They're down not much, 127, I believe. We had 1,773 people filed for. I mean, think about the money the FMCSA ranks in every day, which is pretty crazy to me. But 1,773 people have filed to become a trucking, to start a trucking company, whether it's for hire. I mean, this is property carrying, so these are all people that are looking to be hired and do it. So it's crazy, even though we're in a time where people shouldn't get into trucking right at this very second, unless you have money saved and you're, you know, being prepared or something. I don't know. It's not a time that I would enter in if I don't have a lot of experience. National diesel price did fall. It didn't have the big fall that it did last week at 7 cents. And the week before, I think, was 8 cents. This week, it fell just nearly 4 cents per gallon to a national average of 254, which is down about 55 cents from a year ago. California is still the highest. I believe the average for the West Coast is 309, which is down 50 cents from a year ago. So diesel prices are still low. We talked to Michael with PDQ yesterday, and he said, you know, they're feeling it as primarily an oil field carrier and broker. They're feeling a lot of that oil field tension. And that's something that everybody really should pay attention to. If that the price of oil doesn't come up and some of these oil producers start producing, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm pretty much nervous about everything in the industry right now. So yeah, you may hear me say that a lot, that I'm a little bit nervous about it, which is true, because I'm nervous about everything. And then we're going to talk rates for a little bit. Everyone knows what's going on. We've seen it on social media. You still have the idiots that are out there being like, oh, it's all brokers' fault. How come brokers are making so much money? We're not even going to address that yesterday. We did pretty heavily yesterday, or I'm not going to address that today. We did pretty heavily yesterday with a lot of people that were asking the same questions and repeat, and I was fine. I entertained it, but I'm not going to today. Today, we're just going to look at the DAT rate index for the week, and we're going to talk about it and what it means and what we think and all that stuff. So here is, everyone has access to this as well. If you go to DAT.com and click on industry trend lines, which is up at the top on DAT.com, you can access this information all the time. Spot loads have fallen this week. Now, this is something that everybody already knows, right? We already know that there's not as many loads out because 60% of the nation's businesses had to shut down because of COVID-19 and the spread of all that stuff. But what's kind of interesting to look at is spot load posts have fallen 38%, essentially 39% from last week. That means there's less loads per truck. Obviously, you guys know what happens, basic economics. If there's less loads and the truck capacity stays the same, the rates are going to come down. We see that across the board. All rates for all modes went down. Van dropped 2.4% from last week. Flatbed rates dropped 3.1% from last week. And reefer rates took a dive at 5.3% from last week, which we all saw. Reefer rates also took a hit last week. Reefer load-to-truck volumes also took a pretty big hit. And they took an even bigger one this week, down 46.6%. What's interesting to look at, though, if you look at March 2019's load-to-truck capacity, and then you look at March 2020's load-to-truck capacity, in March 2020, we were up 91% versus March of last year. So that it's a telling sign that March was pretty good for reefer. As we all saw 2 weeks ago, reefer rates were up. Reefer volume was up. It was good. Flatbed load to truck volumes, which is kind of crazy because last week flatbed took a massive dive. This week they did as well. It's down 42.2% from what it was last week. Over the year, though, it's not that bad. It's down 9.6 versus March of 2019 to March of 2018. And the flatbed spot rates have dropped down 3.1%, which is kind of a big deal when flatbed loads aren't out there anyway. Again, it's because we have an overabundance of capacity because we don't have as many trucks out there. That's the way that works. We don't have as many loads out there, which is why we have too many trucks, which is why rates are low. I know everyone, it's a simple decision to say, oh, it's all brokers. Brokers are the ones who control the rates. Brokers are the ones who are making 50, 70, 80, 90% profit on everything. And you know what? If I have to take that blame, even though it's not true at all, and it just proves that you don't know anything about logistics, then so be it. I'll do it because ultimately the freight industry sucks. Am I going to be harmed drastically and financially because of it? No, I'm not, because I'm a freight broker. I have no assets. I'm not going to lose stuff because of it. And I've saved a little bit of money to float in case I need to. Van load to truck rates are also down 46.4%. The rates have dropped 2.4%. Here's another big one. If you look at March 2020 rates versus load to truck volumes versus March 2019 volumes, last month, we were essentially up 83.7%. So that is a massive, massive jump, a spike that we had. So, and that's why I titled this week's State of Trucking infographic, The Cliff is Here. Because clearly we see it from the numbers. You guys see it on social media. Every single person today was complaining about rates. You know, Mike Timmy, right before the show started, he commented on Facebook or YouTube or something. He said these are the worst rates he's seen in 10 years. I know it's true because I move loads today as a freight broker. And I didn't think I was going to get it covered. It's what my customer had sent over. The customer has, set rates he has to work on. Because this is the thing. Customers that are under set rates, especially that are running non-essential freight, meaning they've already got that rate built into the cost of goods sold, they don't have the flex to go pay a whole bunch of money. I know a lot of people don't understand that. And well, if, you know, you have to pay more for the trucks. Well, if a customer can't do it because they're going to end up losing money, they're not going to do it. So my customer has been notoriously on the cheaper end, which is fine. But they've been on the cheaper end for a while. I work with him because I figured out a way to actually book quite a bit of these loads. For us this week, it's actually decent. Yesterday, we booked a ton of loads. Today, we're booking a ton of loads. And carriers are taking the loads because the line haul rate finally leveled out with the customer's cheap rates. It's not that I'm making a bunch of money as a broker, because I'm not. I make it off volume. That's how I do it. I'm not like everybody else. The more loads I make, the more money I make. One load, if I only booked one load a day, I wouldn't be able to be in the business, you know, because I'd be making $50. But, you know, split that as an agent, it wouldn't be worth it, you know, because that's the way I do it. But everyone needs to realize, like, right now is a very, very hard time. You have software like Trucker Tools, which we're going to talk about a little bit. We'll talk with Prasad later. He'll talk about some of the stuff Trucker Tools is doing, because they have basically set up this entire, you know, network of discounts and things like that, and services that drivers are able to access through the Trucker Tools app and through online. And yes, they are an advertiser, but I think what they're doing is very important, and that's one of the reasons why they're coming on the show today. But we're not going to talk a lot about all the special features in the app, because that doesn't help us right now. No one is going to be looking for load tracking, although it's super awesome. There's nothing to track if there's no loads and no freight that's moving. Do you see what I mean? There's nothing, you know. So what I want to do is I want to feature some of the stuff, what he's seeing in terms of internal data and in terms of user, or like how many users are active on the thing. Are they seeing an increase, or are they seeing a decrease? My guess is they're seeing an increase in downloads because of all the extra features and the new software, the new app that they're slow rolling out, which is pretty badass if you ask me. But there's a whole bunch of stuff, so we'll talk about that with him. But I'll answer some of these questions in a minute. I want to just get through to a couple of things. One of the things that, you know, I was broadcasting the presidential speeches on the COVID task force. I stopped doing it just because it was kind of annoying. They kept saying the same thing every day. There was nothing new. It wasn't worth, you know, me sitting for 2 hours listening to it while it was live streaming. So I stopped. But one of the things they kept mentioning about was the Project Airbridge. And I didn't really know anything about it, didn't really pay attention to it. I just knew it had to do with air freight and moving essential goods back and forth. So UPS put out a press release this morning, and you'll be able to find that on my website too if you just search UPS. And they put out an article or a press release this morning, which was pretty cool. And it talks about all the stuff they're doing with that. They're running this air bridge and they're hiring charter planes, and they've set up a 500,000 square foot warehouse to handle the FEMA distribution of goods. And if you're into logistics like I am, and I, you know, my interest doesn't just stop at trucking and doesn't just stop at brokering. It kind of goes through the whole field and the whole supply chain. So when I read this article, I thought it was pretty cool. And that's why I decided to put up the press release instead of rewriting it, just because it was very good, you know. 450,000 square foot warehouse, but yeah, it's a good article. And then in my 5 minutes of freight broadcast this morning, if you guys didn't see that broadcast, every morning now I'm going to be pre-recording 5 minutes of freight, where I'm going to talk about freight news that happened in the past 24 hours. I'm going to talk about weather if I can fit it in. I'm going to talk about rates. I'm going to talk about whatever I can. I'm going to try to fit it in a 5 minute video with a timer and just get as much in it or as much out as I can about the industry, in hopes that it will start your day and you can either just listen to it and say, well, this guy is crazy and he's highlighting shitty news. Or there, now this has to be censored, but, or, you know, you just think it's cool. But I have my first official one out this morning. It's also been distributed to podcast players everywhere. So in a day or two, you'll be able to start hearing that little podcast. You could say it on Amazon, it'll play it and all that good stuff in a couple of days. But that's called 5 minutes of freight. It's also on my website as well. You could find that video and find it on YouTube and all that good stuff. But one of the things I talked about this morning was an article that was written by Ryan Mackwood. It's on my website. He works with me, and now he's going to be writing for the site. But he wrote an article about Amazon workers that were striking again at Staten Island facility. You guys may have heard, because I covered it, there was Amazon went on strike just for a day about protection, or Amazon workers went on strike at a Staten Island facility just for a day, protesting Amazon's handling of COVID-19 and in terms of how it's not really helping employees and stuff like that. you know, they ended up firing the strike leader because he was on a mandatory 14-day quarantine, and they said he violated the quarantine and by facilitating the strike, whatever. And that's why they said they fired him. But there's leaked emails, all sorts of stuff. Business Insider actually has a lot of cool articles that talk about it, and you could check that out. But they're going on strike again. They went on strike yesterday morning, actually, because workers say that at least 25 warehouse workers have tested positive for the coronavirus. 25 warehouse workers at that facility have tested positive. Granted, it is in Staten Island, but this is a fulfillment center. So this stuff is coming in. These people that are infected with the stuff are handling all the packages. They're not trying to go on strike or shut down because they don't want to operate. They want proper PPE and they want to be protected, and they want Amazon to properly clean the place, because what Amazon is doing when people are testing positive, according to all the different news stories I found, they're just shutting it down temporarily, deconning it, and then putting everyone else back to work. They're not, and I guess they're not paying the workers. Amazon does not provide hourly workers with paid sick leave, but it said workers with a COVID-19 diagnosis will be eligible for sick pay. The workers want that, you know, done. You know, according to Amazon's statement, of the more than 5,000 employees at our Staten Island Fulfillment Center, less than 10 people participated in today's demonstration, half of whom were not Amazon employees, Amazon said in the statement. Like all businesses grappling with the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, we are working hard to keep employees safe while serving communities and the most vulnerable. That was a statement from Amazon. Here's something interesting, too. Amazon doesn't report the total, just like Walmart. Amazon won't report the total of coronavirus cases that it has in its distribution centers. So the only way to actually get that data is by literally scouring each individual news source, each individual little website and all that stuff, and to find a total. So I didn't do it because I don't have time to do that. Other bigger news outlets did it. Amazon has had 50 different warehouse distribution centers. Like in the article, it says 30, but there's been new reporting since then. 50 different distribution centers with Amazon employees, Amazon workers testing positive for COVID-19 across the United States. We want to wonder where the spread is and how it's spreading so freaking quickly. It's because distribution centers are open. I don't know. That's a hypothetic. I don't know. But it's pathetic. There needs to be something done. Walmart has distribution centers. They had the one in Pottstown where they have, I think it was 9 employees that had all tested positive, including employees that were at the facility the day before testing positive. There were another one in Bethlehem that closed down from Wednesday of last week to Monday. I don't know if it's still open. I've been pretty busy. I haven't been able to see if it's open. I know they were opening for a day shift after closing for the week to sanitize the place. This has been going on all over the place. Warehouse workers, you know, for food chains and all that stuff are sick, you know. And I don't know if we want this to stop. We got to figure out a way to actually make it stop, because it doesn't do any good. And the reason why I'm bringing up Amazon again, even though I talked about it this morning, is because there was a report on Fox Business that about a new policy Amazon is instituting. So Amazon is instituting a new two-strike rule for firing employees who intentionally violate social distancing guidelines at work. So basically, we've had some instances where employees intentionally violating our clear guidelines on social distancing at our sites, which endangers both the individual and their colleagues. An Amazon spokesperson said, individuals who intentionally violate our social distancing guidelines will receive 2 warnings on the second documented offense. Termination may occur. This is said that the number of Amazon warehouses where workers had tested positive had risen to 24 from last week. As of last week, that includes facilities in California and New York. Amazon is just like Walmart and most distribution centers, most shippers and receivers at this point. Everybody is performing temperature checks on employees as soon as they arrive to work. Anyone with a fever over 100.4 is being sent home, which is the CDC recommendation. It's just very interesting. The worker that Amazon fired, his name was Chris Smalls, who has gained national media spotlight for staging walkouts, for staging two. So he staged the first one, which he was then fired for. And then he went and staged the second one. And this isn't just a worker. This was an assistant manager at the distribution center that really had a problem with the way the management was handling it. And he was part of the management. So that is something to think about. Anyway, he gained national media spotlight for staging the two walkouts at Amazon Staten Island, New York Fulfillment Center. The new policy debunks his termination because he was fired, according to Amazon, for violating the mandatory quarantine. Apparently, he had contact with somebody else and he was put on a 14-day quarantine, and then he went to the strike and organized the strike. And that's why they said he was terminated. There was a press release out or leaked emails from one of the Amazon's attorneys that countered that and basically said, we're going to fire him anyway and blah, 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 and discredited that. The whole thing is just silly. Amazon needs to step up. And I know Amazon has a reputation of being a, I don't even know what I was going to say there. I messed up. I think I was going to curse, and then I was thinking about my kids, and I almost said butthole. But that's not very political. Whatever. So with that said, we're going to have a caller here in a minute. He's actually on the phone, I believe. I think this is his number. So we're going to pick it up and talk. This is Prasad. Let me make sure it is him. Hey, you're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Steve.
All right. It is Prasad. I wanted to make sure it was. It doesn't show your caller ID. All right. So let me introduce you to everybody else. So on the phone, I have the founder and CEO of Trucker Tools. If you guys don't know who Trucker Tools is or what the app is, you guys should download it. Most likely because, 900,000 people have it downloaded already. I'm pretty certain that most of you guys probably have. And if not, you're going to, because it's probably going to be the only app that lasts a very long time that's geared just towards truckers. But how are you doing today, Prasad?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you, Steve?
I am pretty good. I think this is the first time I've talked to you. But yeah, you know, if I just wanted to touch base and see how you're doing. I've been following all the COVID stuff you guys have been working on, and the discounts and the partnerships, and so I was hoping that you would just talk a little bit about that today and what trucking means to you.
I guess the second part is even more important. You know, what trucking means to me personally. I've been in trucking industry for a long time, and I've seen the 2008 and 2009 crash, and at that time I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of owner operators, primarily truckers who are on the road. And one thing is certain is when you talk to truckers, you'll understand how difficult their life is. It's not an easy thing. It's not sitting behind a desk and working. In times like this, especially when there is a crisis, truckers are on the road moving the essentials for us, for the rest of us. And in fact, you know, without these heroes, it's going to be super difficult for us to get out of crisis like this. What it means to me, trucking is that, you know, my goal and, you know, our company goal is that to help truckers on the road, if we can help them be successful in what they do in their day-to-day life, in many ways, we are helping ourselves, helping the whole community. Right? That's our main agenda. And that's why we, you know, have started Trucker Tools. And for, you know, this unfortunate time where everybody is more or less working from home or staying at home, what we decided was these truckers are, you know, they're still putting their lives on the road, on the line. They're on the road. So they're driving into these hot spots and all of it. So with COVID-19 button in our app, the purpose is, why can't we aggregate everything that's out there helpful resources for truckers and make it as a one easy place for them to look at it. The things that are, you know, we spoke to one large broker and they said, well, you know, we're waiving the quick pay fee for the next 2 months. And that's an amazing thing. I mean, this is not coming from us, the truckers, it's coming from a broker. But our job is to get that information in front of the truckers. Because, you know, they could save $30 to $40 on a load, right? If they don't have any quick pay fee. Then we heard the truck stops are going and saying, well, we are still open 24/7, but we're packaging meals for the truckers so for them to take it out and take it with them.
Right.
These are simple resources, right? But our job is to aggregate that, provide that information to truckers in an easy way while they're on the road.
Whoops, I accidentally muted my mic. Yeah, I'm just looking. I put it up on the screen. I'm going to do it again. I was just showing the viewers just some of the updates. And I have to say, I checked it out the other day when you guys put out the press release about some of the some of the partnerships you guys were working on. I didn't realize you had so many. You guys have really worked and rallied a huge percentage of the trucking community and provided a lot of information. And it kind of sucks because you guys really trumped my website in terms of updates on the COVID-19 pandemic, in terms of what the transportation industries is good. What about, what are you guys seeing in terms of users? Are you seeing an increase in users? You know, especially because I know I put out an article and I know you guys put out a press release about kind of something that kind of was a no-brainer when it, especially last week, as drivers started reporting that truck stops were not open and that it was hard to find food and all this stuff. You know, I put out an article and I said, and I mentioned it in my video several times, and I said, everyone should just use an app. Like, if only there was an app where you could look up truck stops, you could look up, you know, Walmarts and parking lots and different parking spots and leave reviews. If only there was an app that did that. And of course, you know, it Trucker Tools does that. And it was just, it's just really funny because I'm curious as to, with your press release that said the same thing and my coverage of it, have you seen an increase in users, or are you seeing a decrease in users as more trucks are kind of staying home?
Today we are approaching 900,000. I believe we probably have crossed the 900,000 truckers on our platform. Coming into this crisis, we were adding about, you know, anywhere between 40,000 to up to 50,000 new truckers a month to our platform. So we were adding healthy. And by a third-party report, we are the largest the most downloaded app in any given month in trucking industry today. And that trend has been continuing. And what we are seeing is the usage of our app has gone up since the crisis, primarily because people are dependent. Like you said, you know, truckers depend on the app, on this information on the road. They want to see what truck stops are available. But more importantly, they're also looking for parking. Parking is such a big, if not the biggest issue right now.
Right.
In fact, we are adding two different things to help truckers on the road with the parking. And one thing is bringing in not only these truck stops, rest areas, Walmarts, which we already have, but we're also pulling in third-party parking locations. And we're working with two aggregators today to bring those parking locations into our app. In addition, we are also adding hotspots, which I think we made it part of our COVID-19 resources. Truckers can see where the hotspots of theft is.
Right.
Because, you know, while we want to help the truckers to find good parking spots, we don't want to lead them to, or at least we want to warn them, hey, here are the areas where people are stealing goods. I can't imagine, you know, there was time when people would steal a load of cigarettes or iPads or iPhones. Now, I'm not surprised if they steal a load of toilet papers. But you know, these things are coming up, right?
It actually has happened in the recent times. So about the app, you guys slow rolling out new features in your app. You know, your tracking app. I never realized when I did the demo last week, I never realized how full the tracking app is, and just what kind of services it has, and leaving reviews of shippers and receivers, and I didn't know that it did any of that. So what is the driving factor for you at just creating an app that is literally just, I don't know. I think it's kind of the solution to it. It gets rid of, you know, app overload, because instead of having, you know, 15 different apps that all do something, you have an app that does 17 different things, and you've included, you know, loads are on there. You've included, you know, book it now functionality. You've included the tracking. What is the driving force behind you creating that brand?
The driving force is quite simply truckers. They are the driving force for this app, because they're typically telling us what else they wanted to see on this app. When we first started, we just had fuel prices and truck stop guide.
Right.
And, you know, truckers basically used it and said, hey, why can't I see Walmart listing? Why can't we see rest areas? Because we use rest areas to park our trucks. And every feature, every icon on our app was suggested by truckers.
Right.
And we are constantly looking for that. And so that drives what we do. And quite simply, you know, you address the app overload, right? That is the problem that we are solving. You know, in today's world, you know, if I come to you and say, hey, here is Steve, here is an amazing app, you might say, well, that's great, but I'm not going to download another app. I got 100 apps on my app, right, on my phone, right? But when it comes to truckers, everybody thinks, oh, they can do it. They can do it. It's not, you know, it's like telling other person to download an app, not knowing the fact that every time, whether it's a broker or a shipper or someone else goes and tells the trucker to download another app, they are making the truckers less efficient. Think about it, right? If I will use the example of an owner-operator, because owner-operator small carriers are the backbone of this industry. So when you ask an owner-operator to use one app to find loads, one app to provide visibility, one app to find cheapest fuel, one app to submit invoices, just think about how many apps they have to use just to do one load. Now, you talk about some brokers out there going and saying, why can't you just download our app? And so is another broker. They work with 10, 20 brokers, these guys. So before we know it, we are making these owner operators less efficient. It is literally like, you know, you're driving in a car with someone else. The guy is driving, and, you know, if we keep distracting the driver, if we keep, you know, pushing the brakes on him while he's driving, we're not going to get to our destination in one piece, and more if, you know, we're not going to get there on time. And that's right, exactly what's happening with these drivers. All of the rest of the people in transportation are putting so much on these small carriers and making them less efficient. And in turn, they're saying, well, you're not efficient. It's not my problem. Right? It is our problem. But, I mean, it's not rocket science to figure this out, that when these small carriers are efficient and successful in their business, we all win in this space. And small carriers are running smoothly. We don't have a supply problem, the capacity problem right there. So, yeah, you know, if anything, we should support small carriers.
Yeah, that's one of the things I say. You know, I'm a freight broker. That's my day job. All the other stuff is kind of part-time for now. Well, it's part-time, but I treat it like full-time. But it's, you know, as I say in my show a lot, I can't do what I do without trucking. You wouldn't have an app if truckers didn't use it. You know, people, I think, you know, apps like yours and to be honest, I've been a big opponent of app overload, and I've had Trucker Tools on my app since you guys came out, or on my phone since you guys came out. Mm-hmm. What was it? A long time ago. And I've seen it, all the growing pains and all that throughout the company. And I really think when I demoed the new app that you guys are slow rolling out now, I was extremely impressed. So I would encourage everybody out there that's watching this or listening to this as a podcast to check out Trucker Tools. They have a lot of features, whether you're a broker, they have too many features for us to do in a 10-minute segment. We are going to have an hour-long interview, hopefully in the near future, where we'll talk more about the services. We'll get to know each other a little bit better, and I'm looking forward to that. But I wanted to thank you for giving a call, and I look forward to working with you guys in the future.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on your show. Stay safe and stay healthy.
All right. Will do. Thanks, buddy. All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
See ya. All right, so that was Prasad with Trucker Tools. Guys, in all reality, they've slow rolled out their app. Their new functionality isn't quite out there yet. Or it is out there, but I think they're slow rolling it. So like on my phone, I don't even have the new app yet. But when I did the demo, the tracking, if you're a freight broker, and like Jose said, you know, when you're using MacroPoint, the app that they have in there that is directly competition to MacroPoint, to all the other, it's not even competition. It's kind of on a league of its own. It is a very, 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 I can't even say it enough. It is a very, very good tracking app. And the fact that you can leave reviews that you will be able to see, or your network will be able to see, and carriers will be able to leave reviews for shippers and receivers. Now, you won't be able to, for example, that's one of the questions I ask, because I'm a broker. So if someone's going in there and leaving reviews about my shippers, I don't want that to be public. And it's not. It's set up to your network, and the carriers would be able to see the reviews for the shippers and receivers that they're assigned, which is pretty, I mean, to me, it's rad. It actually changes quite a bit on tracking. I know as MacroPoint, we used to use MacroPoint when I was a broker with another company years ago. I don't like MacroPoint. I've never really liked it. I didn't really like the app. I don't, and it didn't really work that well for us. What I would suggest, and then I'm going to end with the promotional crap, but everyone should download Trucker Tools, especially if you're looking now, because drivers are starting to actually input information. They're starting to say, hey, this truck stop doesn't have these amenities. And that's what this app is perfect for doing. So everyone that has questions about what truck stop has what, you guys really just need to download the app. It's a good app. It's not even a good app. It's a great app. It's something that everyone needs to do. And on the broker side, they have a load board in there, so you can find freight that you're not necessarily going to find on DAT and Truck Stop. And then they have smart capacity tools and all that stuff. That's a little bit more in depth of a conversation, so I'm going to steer away from that. All right, the phone lines are active, 914-803-4008. You're welcome to call in, ask questions. We'll talk about freight. We'll talk about trends. I'm going to read through some of these comments. You could type a question in chat, and I'll try to do my best to answer it, but there's a lot of comments going back and forth in chat. So I'm going to go all the way up to the top and go. So I don't know how you say your name, Rallo, Feliciano, or whatever you said. You said you're going to start a brokerage and it's going to be very successful. Well, I wish you the best of luck. And then you said you have a burning question and you can ask the question when you're ready. Can you use your girlfriend's credit for a surety bond? The answer to that question is yes, as long as the entire company is in your girlfriend's name. So if the company is in your name, then you're going to use your credit for it. And to be honest, even if you have really, really bad credit, there's still ways to get a surety bond. You're going to have to pay a little bit more, but you should really think about it. And I'm not trying to attack anyone personally. I don't know you, but if you have really bad credit, that probably means that at some point you chose not to pay bills, and it probably means you should not be a freight broker, because you're responsible to pay carriers and to pay carriers in a timely fashion. And if you have poor credit, then that's kind of a telltale sign to surety bonded companies that you don't pay your bills on time. So, and I don't know if that's your thing anyway. you know, some people have personal situations that drive down credit, but whatever the case is, I answered your question. I don't know how you say that. Here's one. You said with your RTS card, you fueled today at 142 at Speedway. Nice. Nice. Everyone gets the same discounts, though. Pretty much no matter which factoring company, which fuel card you have, everyone has a play to give you whatever kind of factoring or whatever kind of a rate on the cards. It just kind of depends. Virgil Phillips said, how do you get tender rejection rates from carriers? Well, you don't. The only way you get tender rejection rates are by using EDI and data interchanges and stuff. And as far as I know, the only one that's getting that information is FreightWaves and what they do with it. They package it up and sell it as Sonar, which is a good software. And that's where the whole tender rejection thing's. Because, you know, like I said, I've been in this business for 15 years. I never heard the expression tender rejections until Sonar came out. And like I said, I don't talk about it much anymore because of whatever, but the Sonar app or the Sonar functionality, the FreightWaves Sonar functionality is very cool. I don't know what kind of benefit it's going to have in the short term because rates are so screwy. I really want to find out. I'm trying to talk to someone that has some insight into RFPs. Laz, if you have any insight into RFPs and you're still watching this, call in because I'm really curious about what contracted freight, like previously contracted freight, is going to look like when the COVID-19 shit is all done. What is going to happen to those freight rates? Because they're not going to be current anymore. There's going to be such a change of capacity and change of rates. Essentially, if it's done correctly, the rates will actually reset. I don't know. I'm pulling this out my butt, but it sounds good, right? But we would have, if we have an overabundance of capacity and we don't have as many loads when the capacity or, you know, obviously we're going to lose capacity as more trucking companies are closing or closing up shop temporarily. I mean, I've seen probably no less than 50 people today on social media that said, I'm done. I'm selling my equipment. I'm done. And we're only in week two of this badness, you know, the bad of COVID-19. Granted, 2019 sucked as well. You know, that's why I got out of trucking. I'm sweating my butt off in this room, by the way. I don't know if you could tell, but I'm sweating my butt off because the door is closed because kids are here. So if I keep doing this, I apologize. Anyway, I don't speak Spanish, so I can't read that one comment. TJ said, my rates have been stable van wise. That is been good here in the Pacific Northwest. Yeah, I guess it's kind of depending on where you go. Some people are still okay, but again, it depends on what kind of rate you're getting. The rates across the board have dropped quite a bit, which is, you know, we already talked about it, so I'm not going to go back on it. But, you know, they've dropped, and I guess they've dropped because we have an overabundance of capacity. It's what we talked about yesterday. Blah, blah, blah. Laszlo said, you haven't heard me complain about the rates. No, you're a broker and it's the same thing. I'm not complaining about rates because we don't complain about low rates unless we can't cover freight. To me, the national average rate or the overabundance of capacity has helped me cover more freight. I didn't change my rates. I'm not paying more and I'm not making any more money. I'm just covering more loads because I work at a pretty much a set profit margin per load. It's a little bit different than the way other people do it. But I've found good. Vince said, so how much profit do you profit off one load? Well, I have a formula. So basically, if it's under $1,000, I make 50. If it's over $1,000, I make 100. And the way I make all my money is because I cover a crap ton of loads a day. So by me doing that, it allows me to pay more than the big three-letter brokers who also work with my customers who are trying to make straight 10% profit on loads. So if they have a load that's paying $2,500, they're trying to make $250 minimum on profit. Whereas me, I'll make $100. I'll be able to pay the carrier $100 more than what the other brokers were and still save my customer some money. That's why I do it. And that's why I'm able to book quite a bit of freight that way. Not everybody does it that way. I don't think many people do. And when I was over at the other company over there, I was talking about truckload rates and things like that because, you know, I was a market expert in the trucking industry. And I was talking about the way I worked as a volume broker is like a term I've coined. I don't know if that's even a real term, but I use it. That's based on the volume. That's how I made all my money, by was charging a really low profit margin paying the carrier a little bit more than the other brokers and saving my customer money, because what I got in return was more freight, and carriers were more apt. If they saw I had a load for 1100, or if they saw I had a load and it said $600, and they saw, you know, a big three letter broker that had a load and it said 550, they knew, the carriers that pull my freight regularly knew that I'm being honest with my rates. Not everybody does it that way, but whatever. So you guys are going to, this is a little bit back in comments. So let me try to catch up on the comments here. Tim Brown on Facebook said Amazon is also not trucker friendly. Now I know they're not, unfortunately. They used to be. I mean, I set up a carrier, when I did some consulting a couple of years back, 2 or 3 years back, we set up a carrier, that had 6 or 7 trucks, and he made a boatload of money running that relay stuff up in the Northeast. A boatload. I remember getting his settlements, and for 6 trucks, he had 6-figure settlements per week, because he also was running his trucks nonstop. So he had shifts of drivers that would run because he owned all his trucks. But he was making, he had one where it was $101,000 in freight revenue for 1 week, and that's all just pick and drop and hook and crap like that. So there, you could make money, but those days are gone, because then they went to a day rate, from what I understand, and then they went to a much, much lower per mile or per load rate, and it's screwy. And I'm curious what the Amazon, like, contracted carriers now, you know, there's quite a few. I should actually ask them about it that I know, and what you guys are seeing. Have you seen a slowdown in terms of freight volume? I'm guessing you did, because everyone else has. But what's that doing to those guys that run Amazon exclusive? Or even you have all the power only companies. You got Pam, you got JB Hunt, you got all these companies that have all these power only or loads. What's this doing to them freight wise? I'd be very curious to see. Phone lines are active, 914-803-4008. Vladislav Dramirlov said, yes, truckers are moving stuff for us, but they got 1 to 160 a mile to stay and risk their health. Is this worth it? No, I don't. I don't think it's worth it at all. If I could pay more, if I could get the customers to pay more, then I would pay more. Could anyone pay me enough right now to jump in a truck and go drive again? No. Why? Because I have 2 kids and a wife and a dog and a house, and we're in a time of national crisis where I'm more freaked out about what people are going to do and overreact and act like idiots than I am about a virus. And I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about the virus, because as you guys see, where is it? This 12,242 deaths here in the United States. That's an updating number. That's a live number right there. 386,104 cases in the United States. And that's only the people they've tested. You know how many truck drivers right now that have picked up at an Amazon facility and got handed paperwork and now could potentially be sick because Amazon has all these cases, it's everywhere. You know, you can't even avoid hotspots anymore in trucking. You know, that's what a lot of people say. Well, we're just not going to hotspots. Well, you can't, because if you look at a map, there's, you know, over a quarter million people in the United States that have it. The hotspots are the entire state. It's crazy. But I wouldn't do it. Mike Timmy, I don't know if you're talking to me or you're talking to somebody else. Hopefully you're talking to somebody else. All right. We have a caller. Let me see who this is. What's up? You're on the air.
Hey, Steve Splittenberger, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How much? You was asking about the JB Hunt stuff and the Pam stuff. What I do is power only. JB Hunt's down to $1.43 for every mile. A month ago, they were at $1.48. Snyder's come up a little bit. Pam has stayed right dead the same. But they're all staying right at $1.40, $1.50 a mile for all miles.
Yeah.
You get a little bit more if you run the loaded mile rate. And then they all offer the percentage, but it all works out in the same money. They've got that side figured out. But
are you seeing volumes? Are you seeing less volumes?
Do I now?
Are you running less volume? Like, are you seeing a reduction in actual loads?
I'm not doing those. That's my fallback plan. I'm running groceries still for two different distributors. And man, we're wide open. I mean, we did. I did 14,000 miles last month. My other truck done about that. We've started off this month day seven, we're doing 800 miles a day.
Gotcha.
Every day. And it's just, I'm carrying now to the Amazon facility, the Amazon Fresh, that services the New York City area.
Yeah.
And their facility up there, they've got a lot of waste going out, because I kind of watch their waste, because it kind of helps me predict what kind of loads they're going to have coming in. Uh-huh. And their go-to donation pile is huge compared to what it normally is. It's normally about five tubs of 4x4x6 cardboard boxes that they just dump it in and then take it to shelters.
Right.
There's usually four or five sitting there full, and they have four truckloads of overage and waste sitting there right now. They're
for food, right?
Employees, food.
Yeah.
Of stuff they can't sell.
Yeah.
Because it's starting to get ready to expire, so they donate it.
Yeah.
And their donation pile is went up about, that's five times as much donation stuff sitting there as normal.
That's crazy.
Their intake is staying the same, so I'm able to run the same amount for them and the other customer I'm doing. But my rates, I've had a little bit of a surcharge to go to the New Jersey area, and I added $500 to go just to the city.
Right.
Because, you know, they don't have any kind of protective equipment for you at all. So
right.
It's all on you. You bring what you want to wear. And I told my driver, I said, it's up to you, man. If you don't want to go, I'll run it. And I leave it up to him. And he likes that $500 same as I do. So we roll the dice every day.
Yeah. No, that's the thing about truckers right now. Every trucker that's out there right now is rolling the dice. And unfortunately, and what's worse is that we need them to. We need trucks to keep doing it. I've seen videos where people are calling for trucks to get off the road, which I agree that if you got to protect yourself, you know, the trucking industry is already an at-risk group. You know, you have smokers, you got people that don't necessarily eat healthy, you got people that don't necessarily work out. You're already an at-risk group, and typically, you know, the generation is older. It's not even people my age, it's people older, and the generation up, whatever the hell they call those guys. You know, it's unnerving to me, you know?
Yes, sir. I carry a big old can of Lysol. I bought a case of it, because when I'm running groceries, I got kind of first pick off what comes off the truck.
Yeah.
So I've been buying a can here and there, and I wound up with, I got six or seven cans of Lysol, and I scored a couple boxes of rubber gloves, and I
there
won't touch
go.
Nothing barehanded that somebody else has already touched. And like, when I lay my bill down,
yeah,
I tell them, look, I'm going to sign your name for you on my clipboard if that's all right. I'd rather you not touch it. And they understand. And you know, it's, I may be an overcautious, but I don't want to touch nothing nobody else has.
That's what a lot of people. Yeah, that's what a lot of people are doing now.
Either had it or been exposed to it.
Yeah, New York has New York has a lot of cases.
My one driver delivered to a spot, and it was the craziest thing. He had it. He told me about it. He went up to the window and set the bill down, and the step back. The guy sprayed it down with Lysol. And never touched it, just kind of looked at it, told him what door it was, and then he picked up his bill and went into the facility to see the lady at the receiving.
Yeah.
She picked it up, first thing she did, stick it to her nose and smell it, see if it smelled like Lysol. My driver said, what are you doing? She said, I'm just making sure it's been sprayed with Lysol. He said, well, you're going to come across the first one that don't smell like Lysol, and if it had coronavirus on it, you just got it. And she sat there a minute, and she's like, you know, that's a pretty good point. And I'm like, well, yeah.
People are stupid.
I mean, people are crazy.
I asked
my driver was asking. He don't have access to the podcast right now.
Yeah, yeah.
To listen to going down the road. Do you have it on Sirius at all or no?
No, I wish. No, I don't. I wish it was on Sirius.
Okay.
You know how hard it is to get on Sirius. That's it's what I need everyone to do. Awesome. All my viewers right now. Right to SiriusXM and say, hey, I want Steve on there because he's real. That's the thing. You got people on the Road Dog Radio truck that have no business talking to truck drivers every day. But whatever. we're not going
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they got some crazies.
Well, you have people that don't even work in trucking.
Crazy.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know?
My favorite crazy is Red Viking Express. That dude is, he's out there.
Yeah.
He's a conspiracy theorist. And I mean, he is. He is rolling it big.
I haven't.
Show he talks about. I'm like, good lord.
I'll be honest, I haven't listened to too many of them. I'm listening to a couple of shows, and some of them are good, and some of them are insightful, but it seems like most of the shows that are on Road Dogg are all peddling their own products. You have, you know, it, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, but you have, like, health stuff, you have software, you have this, you have that, and the people that are talking about it are very, I mean, it's like hour, 2 hour, 3 hour long infomercials. They're not like... like this. I mean, hell, I could. I don't even know if I could do a full show for 3 or 4 hours. I probably could. You know, I did write to them once and I said, hey, listen, I'll do my show there for free. Let's do it. And never heard back. So whatever. But no,
I'm going to hit D.C. They left. They had me get out there late this morning.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to leave at 6 a.m. and I didn't get out of there till 10 just because they were slow getting it loaded. And that's going to put me in D.C. at 5. On a damn Tuesday, so I don't know what traffic's going to be. Come around Richmond, it's not big, but I'm curious to see this day in home order if it's actually worked or if I'm going to be stuck in stop and go traffic going around D.C. at 5 o'clock.
Oh, I don't know around D.C. That's a good question. I know that traffic in pretty much every metro area is down. I wrote that article a couple of weeks ago about Attree's, like, update on their most, you know, congested bottlenecks, and everything was down by 50%. So, and it's probably even more now because that article was a week and a half ago. Now more states and more, I think, what do we have, 42 states now that have some sort of lockdown in place. So we're going to have that. But in terms of where he can listen to it, if he's got an iPhone or an Android phone, he could just... get it on Google Play or iTunes. Just search Freight Broker Live. All the shows are on there.
He's data stingy. He don't run an unlimited data plan. I don't know why, but he don't.
No,
so he's kind of data stingy.
Yeah.
The last thing, you remember that little situation we had with that Border Freight that I was telling you about?
Yeah.
They just hit me back. They're going to settle 11 cents on a dollar. And I'm going to follow the old lawsuit. Trying to take his damn car or his house or his wife or something.
Yeah. His wife. So for anyone who's watching, this is Flute and Pecker. He's the guy who made this hat. He also sent me the red hat that's back here. He sent me a bunch of pens. He's a very good fan of the show, which I really appreciate, by the way. Anyway, he sent me an email the other day, and it's just like what I was talking about with the credit in terms of brokers having good credit when you become a broker, because if you don't, it kind of looks like you don't pay your bills. So why should you become a broker when you have bills to pay? Well, he was subjected to that because he did a load for a carrier, and it was a repower or something, right? For a broker that was based in Maine. And then he got stiffed on his payment. And so he waited and waited and waited. And then he filed on the bond. And then now the guy is losing his authority. And as he just said, they're settling for 11 cents on the dollar. And he has no other recourse but to go sue the guy. And then, like he said, try to, you know, get a default judgment, get the car, who knows if he's actually got anything. But I apologize on behalf of trucking. It's just... That kind of stuff is the reason why we need to tighten up the restrictions, or just make it so every single broker out there has to pay a $250,000 broker bond. Is that going to protect all the carriers?
Yes.
Absolutely not, but it's going to weed out the dirt bags. But
yeah, I was kind of naive. I mean, it was my first load on my own authority, and I didn't know how to do credit checks and stuff like that.
Right.
So I kind of stepped on my own self, but I mean, it just sucks. It was my first one, and I did that run in the mid part of October, and here it is almost April, and I still ain't seen a dime, and I won't see a dime until the end of April, maybe the 1st of May, when the bond people finally pay out.
Yeah, it's going to be like 90 days, typically, is the way they do it. But see, and I'm also January, curious, do they actually show you everyone do they show you data for all the claims?
I don't know. I'm going to hit them up for everything I can, and then I'll write it all up, and then I'm going to send it to you. You're better at stuff like that than I am.
Yeah, because that's what I'm curious.
I'll give you everything I get, and that way you'll know. And then we'll follow along with the woe is me story when I hit the lawyer up and all that. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, because that's what I'm curious about is if the bonding companies are in fact, so say this broker actually has $75,000 worth of invoices, are they actually, see, I don't know if there's any sense of accountability, and I could be way off base here, but do they have to provide proof that they are paying full value up to that amount? That's what I'd be curious about. What if this guy only owed $40,000? Yeah, because what if he only owned $40,000 and then they're settling? Because I know firsthand that when you close on a bond, if you allow the bonded company to, for example, if you make payments to a bond when you lose your authority, which some bonded companies are willing to work with you, when you close a brokerage or something like that, if you let your bonded company know, depending on what your circumstances are, they allow payments. But if you're are they paying full value to every payment from them?
I think I just lost there.
Oh, and if you would want to check too, if you're releasing liability on the invoice too, which is something that I would be curious about. Yeah. So, but hey, thanks for calling in. Drive safe, bud.
I'll send you a copy of everything. But I appreciate talking to me.
All right. Cool. We'll talk soon. All right. Very good guy. Anyway, Jose Jimenez said, I disagree with Prasad. Drivers have way too much time on their hands for the most part. I think that being lazy if they can't simply download an app. Come on, bro. I don't know what he's saying, what you're talking about there. Because he was saying, I don't know. That was a while ago. I don't remember. Oh, God, we have a lot of comments. Yeah, so Contractor Frey, I don't know what you're talking. Can I address the article you posted, Nick? I don't even know what article that is, nor do I see it here in my chat. It could have been a while ago. T. Holland said so true about Road Dogg. And like I said, I listen to the Road Dogg radio every now and then. I just don't pay much attention to what they're talking about because it does sound like a 24/7 infomercial. So there's nothing that really appeals to me that much. Occasionally I'll look and I'll get a Twitter response or something that'll be like, hey, do you want, where it's like saying who's on a show. So I'll listen to that interview. And I heard a really good one with Gary Sinise. It was like a Trucker Tool or not Trucker Tools, Transport Topics interview, I think, on there. It was some interview on Road Dogg, but I talked with Gary Sinise. That was a pretty good interview, but. I don't know. I think people are going back and forth in the chat because I can't follow through with all this stuff. There's too much. Nick Ray said, CDLF, senators proposed 25K COVID-19 hazard payments for essential workers, including truck drivers. I don't know. I've never heard about that. So I don't read that article that much. So I don't know. And nor can I open it up on screen. So I have no idea. I don't read CDLF that much. But yeah, if they're doing that, then I would agree with it too. I think every truck driver that's out there deserves a hazard pay. Shit, if Whole Foods workers are going to get double time, then truck drivers deserve to get at least that. And the problem is that you guys, a lot of truck drivers out there are independent operators. So the only way to do it is by getting a subsidy from the government. I know a lot of people don't like the subsidies from the government, but what the hell are you going to do? You know? Justin Schribner said he hauled a government load. The company folded a month later. Credit was good. That's the thing about government loads, too. They're pretty slow to pay. Well, depending on who you work with. Some government stuff is slow. But see, even here's the kicker, though. A company may fold, but they're still getting the money. So where does the money go? Unless you're taking out big advancements and loans and stuff like that, the receivables are still due. You still have to pay. Even if, like, for example, when you close on a bond, so the guy that's going to, the Flute & Peckers broker there, what they're going to do as soon as the factory or the surety bonding company decides that they're going to pay out the bond, they're also going to file a lawsuit against the carrier. Or against the broker to try to recoup that money. The money that they've had to pay out. Now, they're paying 11 cents on the dollar, like he just said. I'd be very curious to see what they're actually going to charge the broker. Are they charging them the full amount or are they just being shady? But, that happens. That happens a lot. Maxim said, when is all this thing going to get better? I have no idea, bud. I have no idea. Not at all. I would say, should I say by Easter? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know how long it's going to last. Cause I think even when, because Here's the thing. I was talking to my wife about it because they've essentially canceled school for the year here. They've pretty much done it all over the place, everywhere else. If you have a curve and it goes up and then it comes down. So we're not even at the point where we're, in freight wise, we're at the cliff where rates are going to stay down for a while until everything starts opening up, manufacturing picks up and all that. But right now we're in the bottom and we're on our way down. We're not even all the way at the bottom of that waterfall or cliff or whatever the hell you want to call it. Hell no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, in terms of the coronavirus, you know, curve and all that stuff where they say towards the end of this week, we may be at the top of the curve and then we'll start seeing down. I don't know if I really believe that because I think New York City will, but then they're talking about here in Florida, they may not hit the curve until the end of the month. And then other states may not hit the top of their curve till the, you know, 2 months from now. So what is going to stop? When is trucking going to fix itself? When is the industry going to be able to replenish? If we have no idea when this coronavirus crap is going to go away. And, you know, I used to say it wasn't a big deal. I'm not really worried about it. But then again, where's this screen? Right there. 12,242 deaths. That number is a scary number. It's enough to make me go, oh, God. Reading all the stories about people who are passing and ICUs and all that stuff. And what isn't, you know, because I'm an EMT. I took medical courses and all that stuff. Knowing like the invasiveness of a vent and what it does, and 50% of people don't even come off a vent. It's really hard. The longer you're on it, the worse your outcomes are going to be. It's scary. It's scary stuff. Maxim said after a vaccine, I don't know, because they're not going to have a vaccine that's readily available on the market for years and years and years, a true vaccine. They're trying tested drugs, but from what I understand, those aren't going to be out for a long time too. Fluton Pecker said exempt freight end Sunday night, hoping for an extension. Oh, they will absolutely extend it. It ends on the 12th, right? Or 13th. They will 100% extend it. Robert Bub Burge said, you keep up with the trucking industry. I've yet to see any governors, politicians, etc. Biden, Sanders, or even Trump say what they would like to do to help us. I agree doctors and nurses are true heroes with this, but we're all close to third, and I feel unappreciated. You should feel, I wouldn't say you feel unappreciated. I think you should say you feel underappreciated, because here's the thing about the trucking industry. We are getting light now. People are starting to pay attention. Are they doing enough to actually like showcase trucking? No. Local news stations are picking it up. Fox News will be like, thank you, truckers. Trump once in a while will be like, truckers in America. But that's it. Nobody does anything. And then you have people that are petitioning. You got whatever happened to the truck stop in Kentucky, we have negative shit. And that's what, you know, media is something that I think about all the time. And that's why I'm not covering layoffs. And you know, there's so many, there were more today. I'm just not covering them. I'm not going to be that guy anymore. And people could jump on me for doing that. You know, unless a company does it bad, I'm not covering layoffs. If you strand your drivers, you know, so any of you C-level guys, if you strand your drivers across the country, yeah, I'm going to write about it and I'm going to bury you in my writing. If you rip off people, I'm going to write about it and bury you. But I'm not going to highlight all the negative crap because I don't want to. I want to highlight the good in the industry, because what I would like is the appreciation that some people are being seen right now, that some people, some truck drivers are feeling. That, remember on my State of Trucking 2 weeks ago, I had a quote from I don't know where she's been. She hasn't been on here lately, but a regular viewer that sent me a quote, and it said she finally feels appreciated. She would drive under bridges and people are up there waving, saying, thank you, truckers. They would hold up signs. People would buy her lunch. She felt appreciated for being in trucking. Me, like, I grew up around trucks. It's something, you know, my dad had trucks with his factory, all that. He used to drive. I used to sit in there and pretend I was a trucker sitting in the, you know, the big day cabs that he used to deliver the trusses on. Pretending I was supposed to be mowing the lawn of the factory, but I would sit in the truck and talk on the CB to weirdos when I was like 9 years old. But I love the industry and I want my kids to work in the industry, hopefully someday. And I really, really, really want the good to carry over. I would like to be able to when this is all done, when it's finally done, to petition or not to petition, but to say, hey, look, trucking proved a point for once. Everyone said we can do it. And then you call on us to do it. You can't go back to the same regulations. You can't cancel ELDs and hours of service in a time of need and let us do a exemplary job, because we haven't heard of any big big accidents that I know of that are directly related to COVID or the response. We haven't heard of that stuff. If we showcase that stuff after and we have a good lobbying organization behind us and says, hey, look at what we did in the trucking industry when you guys called on us. Now we need you to do something for us. Get rid of some of the stupid ass regulations that we have and actually stand by. That's something. Whatever. But that's where I'm going. I just went way off on a tangent there. Anyway. Freightmaster Resources said IMHO. Don't know what that means. Won't recover until about the rest of the year. Oh, are you talking to someone? No, the freight industry, because even when we start coming back and manufacturing pumps up, we're still going to be in a I don't know what the hell you would call it, a dryer, you know, because dryers go in circles. That's what rates are going to be like for a while until we level out, you know, because rates are going to come high, then they're going to go down, then they're going to go high, then they're going to go down. That's the way it's going to happen. Justin said he's still being told I'm number one. I don't know. I missed that quote. Oh, you're number one in getting paid. Gotcha. Well, hopefully you get it settled. But here's the thing is those brokers, when they don't pay their bills, they're still getting paid. You think the government's just not going to pay them for a government load? No, they're going to pay them. And that is why you make that a requirement. You can't run a brokerage unless you have a perfect freaking credit score, or make the bonding amount based on credit and experience. So if you have no credit and you have no experience, then you're required to carry a $1 million bond. If you have a ton of experience, a great track record, and your credit is perfect and you're financially secure, then you can have a lower bond. That's what they should do. Make it a tiered system, because that's what they do with insurance, with truck insurance. If you have really shitty truck, you know, driving history, bad insurance, or, you know, bad credit, you're going to pay a higher insurance premium than someone. Well, maybe. It's supposed to be that way. It's kind of all over the place right now. But in theory, that's the way it's supposed to be. They should do it the same with brokers. But, oh, IMHO stands for In My Humble Opinion. Okay, I didn't know. I'm not young. Dimitri said, what's the number to call? The number to call is on your screen. 914-803-4008. It's right above, where's my hand? Right there. See where my hand is? Boom. That's where the number is. Can you not see it? Maybe it doesn't look that clear. But I can't fix it. Hey, here's a commercial, and then I'm going to wrap up the show. So if you want to call in now.
I'm simply the best. Better than all the rest. Yeah.
What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital. Better than the rest.
All right. I don't know what this is. Anyway. So yeah, that's the number to call in. 914-803-4008. You're welcome to call in if you have a question. Otherwise, I'm going to wrap this up. So let's go through a recap of what we talked about today, because I think today was a pretty good show. So we talked about the shooting that occurred at a Tennessee pilot truck. Or no, it wasn't a shooting. It was a stabbing spree that happened this morning, 7 o'clock, in a pilot truck stop in Tennessee. We know that three women were killed. One guy was killed. Or one shooter or stabber was killed. And another woman is in the hospital. We don't condition unknown. We don't know the reason. We know that some of the deceased were employees, and that the stabber was not an employee. That's all we know about it. I will add to my article as soon as I find out more, because I'm very concerned, and I want to be able to write the truth before other people spin it into something else, which is inevitable. We talked about trends. We talked about how the trend lines are trending down and that the industry is rough right now. We talked about that. Who knows when it's going to come back? I don't know. We talked about Amazon. We had Prasad with Trucker Tools in the show. He talked about the app. He talked about trucking, and it was a very good interview, if you ask me. He talked a lot about trucking. He talked a lot about the reasons why he created the app and what the app's aim is to do and to help the industry. And we have a caller, and this will probably wrap up the show. So let me pick this caller up. Hey, what's up? You're on the air.
Hello.
You gotta, yeah. Turn off the speaker, bud.
I don't know. I think I might have dialed the wrong number.
Nope, this is me. You're on the air.
Oh, really? I don't know. I guess my seat is lagging behind. But anyways, I was talking about, you know, appreciating truck drivers and stuff like that. I was in Austin this weekend. You know, I think I did about 6,600 miles since last Friday till this till not last Friday, the Friday before last Friday,
yeah.
Till last Friday or till last Saturday, I did 6,600 miles, and I went to a hotel in Austin, Texas. There were some people constantly calling and complaining because I parked the truck right along the street. I mean, they didn't have no signs to park or anything like
right.
that. And then I went to turn on the truck for a little bit to basically charge up my batteries and stuff like that to make sure, you know, it gets going.
Uh-huh.
And this lady came up to me. She was really mean to me in terms of, hey, when you're going to move this thing? It's bothering our views. And I kind of lashed out at her. I was like, well, did you eat apples today? She just happened to say, yeah. I was like, well, it's probably I delivered those 2 days ago, you know?
Yeah.
So she felt kind of dumb. And then I came back to the truck next day. Had about 6 or 7 appreciation letters stuck to my windows, and they were all offering food, phone numbers. They're like, "What can we do to help you out?" Just it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
At first, I was a little bit upset, but then it was very good.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you though, regarding the regulations and the. I know some states, or maybe it's the entire federal. I heard that you could be hauling 1,000 pounds over 80. Is that true?
It's states. Each individual state has made their determination on whether or not they're going to increase or decrease. From what I know, I mean, I'm not a regulatory guy, but from what I understand, is some states have increased they've allowed trucks to run overweight if you're hauling food and stuff like that. I don't know what states they are. It's not something I've written about because I don't really necessarily want a bunch of drivers that may not be the best drivers, you know, handling another 20,000 pounds of weight. I don't necessarily think that's
I don't think it's a good thing. Colorado. I was in Colorado last week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was in Colorado last week, and they said you could haul an extra 1,000 pounds. And I was like, okay, well, right now what happened was I picked up a load in McAllen, Texas last night, and it's a broccoli load, and I'm hauling it to Boston right now on I-10, right next to Baton Rouge. And the problem is they put way too much ice on my load. And I looked at the BOL, and it said 25,000 pounds. The load kind of felt light,
right?
Because it was mostly loaded on my trailer. I didn't see the airbag pressure on my truck. So
yeah.
I was like, yeah, I guess it's a light load, and kind of moved pretty easy. So I was like, all right, yeah, I'm probably right. And then I pulled in into a truck stop. You know, I was like, you know what, I should scale. And I'm already by Houston at this time.
Right.
Roll in there. I'm 82,000 pounds. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
So, I was just wondering, do you know where I would be able to look up which states and which states allow what, or would I have to go to each individual state to figure that information out?
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I don't have the answer to your question. I don't know which states there are. I know Texas was one of them, and I know like Ohio and Indiana and like New Hampshire is not. They just got the guy that was running heavy. But I don't know. If the ice melts, maybe it'll become a little bit easier. I don't know. To answer your question, I have no idea.
Okay.
So you could always just buy permits along your route if you're really nervous about it and don't want to get fines. But from what I've heard, a lot of the scale house is already closed. Not that I'm saying that you should run overweight, but you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I understand. No, you know what? That's the problem. All the scale houses on I-10 are open right now, you know? I'm rolling, and I'm like, God damn it. So yeah. I'm kind of worried about it. I mean, hopefully the ice will melt, because I think they put like 17,000 pounds of ice on top of that broccoli. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you get it figured out, man. I wish the best for you, and keep trucking and keep on the road. Be safe, especially up there in Boston, all right? Because us Boston guys are nuts. If you can't tell, I'm from Massachusetts. So.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Drive safe.
All right. Thank you. Pleasure talking.
All right. But, so that was the show. And that was, he reminded me of another thing, and I forgot what it was by this time. So, Texas. Going into Texas from Louisiana. We are getting reports that they are stopping non-essential trucks. So if you are hauling non-essential goods from Louisiana into Texas, I am getting reports by everybody except law enforcement that they are giving drivers a hard time if you're coming in. So if you're hauling non-essential goods and you can't prove that you're hauling essential goods, even though trucking is essential, I'm hearing about some issues. But I don't know. I don't know if it's true. That's why I didn't publish anything, because the police and the state troopers and all those people are saying no. But yeah. Flute and Packer LLC said each state is different. Overgross will park you with no permit. That's why I was saying you might as well just, you know, go to JJ Keller or something and buy a little permit for a couple $100 and just protect yourself. You know, because then you're good. And JJ Keller or whoever you choose, one of those permitting companies that'll just buy the permits for every state around your along your route. They'll be able to help you. But if you're really nervous about it. All right, guys, so that is my show. Make sure you download my podcast on iTunes, Google Play, all that stuff. Check out the new one that I'm putting out. I'll have it out by 10 o'clock every morning. It's 5 Minutes of Freight is what it's called. It's where I just talk about freight real quick, show some pictures, and boom, it's done. That's also made as a podcast as well. Please check out the website. Share my articles. It's super helpful. If you're looking for consulting or one-on-one, click on the consulting tab. You could book a one-on-one appointment with me, and we'll just talk about whatever you want. If you want to start a trucking company, broker, training, whatever you want to do, click on there. It's $50 an hour, and we'll go from there. Guys, have fun. I'll see you tomorrow.